Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Hang in there, 1 second. I think that's the president. My fellow Americans, as part of my campaign promise that I made to you, and now that you've elected me your president, I am going to enforce that rule. As of today, the largest champagne contribution any party can make to a presidential candidate or any candidate for office is $1. Mr. President! Mr. President! Goldman Sachs' dollar is in! Smith Barney's dollar is in. Mrs. Murphy's dollar is in. Mr. President, Mrs. Brown's dollar is in. Mr. President, Little Johnny's dollar is in. Well, that's $5, right? Yes, Mr. President. Okay, it's time to start campaigning. What about lobbies? The only lobby in Washington as of today is in a hotel. They can mail their dollar in from afar. And while we're at it, this Hail to the Chief tune, I'm changing it. I want a new presidential tune. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States.
Your smile so tender, my heart was captured, my soul surrendered. I spent a lifetime waiting for the right time. Now that you're near, the time is here at last. Just like a willow, we would cry an ocean if we lost true love and sweet devotion. Your lips excite me, let your arms invite me, for who knows when. It's my
Rodeo show that Obama's putting on. He's going after big banks. Goldman Sachs gave him $1 million in a champagne contribution. Now, they're reporting that Goldman Sachs only gave $994,000. But Barney Frank counted the money. Goldman Sachs says they gave $1 million. Who are you going to believe? What a joke. What a joke. It's ridiculous. And we're all suckers. We're all buying it. It's like a soap opera. The Iranians are 15 years away from having a 22 caliber pistol. Yeah. Now they're 10 years away. Now they're 5 years away. I told you what Vartukian the cleaner said, right? I said, Mr. Vartukian, how soon before the Iranians have a nuke? He says, 5 minutes. And I trust Vartukian. He's on the ground. He's a man of the soil. He knows what's happening. And poor Iranians, I feel sorry for them. These mullahs are setting them all up to go to paradise before their time. Poor Iranians, feel sorry for them. This would not be happening today if when George Bush went to Iraq, he went to Iran at the same time. He didn't have to go physically. All he had to do was go psychologically. And all he had to do was blast and blast and blast over the airwaves the Iranian people and telling them how good the Iraqis are going to have it while they're still eating in garbage pails. A country that can't make potable water but has heavy water for nukes. There's something wrong. A country that is rich in oil and has no gasoline. There's something wrong. If you can't have a gasoline refinery, but you can have 5 nuclear plants making centrifuges for nuclear weapons, what are you going to be, the king of the Middle East? Who are you going to take out? Who are you going to intimidate? You think you're going to intimidate the USA? You better watch some World War II movies. You come at us with one nuke, and we're coming at you with 900. And the President of the United States will make a speech saying it never happened. But he'll go with the flow, because he won't be able to control the dam that's been unleashed. You've never seen it when people go wild. You've never been caught up in a crowd where the mob gets ugly. You don't want to see a country go that way. You don't want to learn that lesson. We'll take hits and we'll take casualties, but let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of radioactive Arabs and Farsi speakers. Yeah, you just take a look at that volcano in Iceland and the next volcano that's coming up to make it worse. And if you think that's bad, you just start with us. You know, not everybody listens to the boss. You tick off an American and he happens to be piloting a plane with a nuke on it, he's coming your way. He's coming your way and he'll stand trial later on. And we have our own jihadists. We have our own kamikaze pilots. We have our own suicide bombers. You don't want to meet them. And they don't want to meet you. But if you provoke them, they will find you. And they will kill you. And you won't have to worry about paradise, because you'll be living hell on earth. Now, let me calm myself down and be less belligerent. I've often said that the liberals, the atheists, and the communists, which are all the same, love to mock Jesus and his followers. But they'll never say a peep against Mohammed and his followers. But apparently a couple of liberals that run a South Park have decided to roll the dice, to roll the jihad dice, and they got their first warning. Somebody sent them a picture of Van Gogh, and not with his ear cut off, but with his head cut off. So you get a B for bravery, boys, and we'll see what the outcome is. You've been just don't get in any yellow cabs where you see your own picture next to the hack license. And should a jihad befall them, a God forbid, okay, all the liberals will be saying, tish tish, this, I wonder what they did to make them angry. The entire world is tuning up for war. And what is the big crisis that the United States Navy is facing? Our men of war. Whether or not we're going to have sissy ships. The Admiral of the United States Navy, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Staff, is wondering whether Percy can come out of the submarine hatch. Give me a break. This is a crisis. This is a problem. Come on. Get real. Go nuclear. Did you ever see I have a picture of a Polaris submarine launching a cruise missile. And you don't see the submarine. You just see the cruise missile breaking through the water. And then my caption underneath is, cut my head off, will you? Okay. I won't do it again. And then I have one of a fighter jet, a bomber, taking off from an aircraft carrier, and the caption underneath says, come back, I was only kidding about France. There's an outfit called Move America Forward, and they sent me a blog today. They're very supportive of the troops. And there's an outpost in Afghanistan that's manned by 750 guys, and they don't have any luxuries. You know, they're toughing it out, and they're trying to raise food packages for them. So if you get a chance, go on their website, Move America Forward, and see if you can help them out. I got to tell you, when the Iraq War first started, and I saw those GIs, I had a pizza delivery guy that used to come to my place, and he had been in Vietnam, and he was the only survivor of a car bomb, an IED detonated under his armored personnel carrier, and he was the driver, and he was the only survivor in the explosion, and his face was totally tore up, and as a matter of fact, he was in a hospital for a year, and he had, my guess is, over 20 operations on his face. And they restructured his face to the point that he is in the medical journals for the surgery that he had. And the nurse that took care of him for the year he was in the hospital married him. And I think he told me his graduating class, so that was a beautiful, that's a love story and a half, you know. Here you are feeling like you'll never be a complete human being again, and the nurse falls in love with you. I mean, only Jesus could put that plan together. And I think he told me he was in a graduating class of mechanics, and he was the only one that survived the Vietnam War. And he was doing pizza deliveries, and taking care of the delivery trucks. And this pizza outfit, they had big trucks that used to go in downtown New York. And they would make the pizzas right in the truck. You know, they had the ovens in the truck, and they had the phone number on the roof of the truck so people in skyscrapers could look down and they could call down and get the pizza delivered. And when John Kerry started to run for election, he got real upset with Kerry, and he started drinking. And I said to him one day, I said, "Hey, Bobby, you know these guys in Iraq, you know, they're running the gauntlet." I said, "Wouldn't it be great if we could take the pizza truck and go over there and bring them, deliver them some pies?" And you know what he said to me? He said, "It wouldn't be a bad way to go." And about 6 months later, he was in an accident caused by the fact that he had an aneurysm while he was driving his own truck. And that was the end of Bobby. But I often think about him, and I often think about his saying, "That wouldn't be a bad way to go." I mean, you can't get more American than that, right? God bless Bobby, and God bless his wife. Oh, and speaking of God bless, there is a girl named Sarah who's in heaven, whose father wrote a book about her and his experience with her as his daughter. And I promised her father that tonight I would do a tribute to Sarah and play a musical tune that could that would be appropriate for one so beautiful. So hang in there and let me find a real nice tune. Thank you. let me push the mood a little bit forward. O'Reilly tonight, and his guest is Charles Krauthammer, and the two of them are talking about the strategy to take on Iran, and it's truly amazing. You know, oh, this won't work and that'll work, and these two guys are, they're fielding. I just hope the Pentagon is not watching this show, and they're going to devise their strategy based on the opinions of O'Reilly and Charles Krauthammer, both of whom I respect, but they do not qualify as military tacticians. Only I do. They're talking about, well, we could do a blockade. The one thing that I worry about the most is turning on my TV, like I did on 911, and seeing the Persian Gulf and an aircraft carrier in flames sinking with 5,000 sailors jumping into the sea after it's been hit by a Chinese silkworm missile. And I just hope that we really have defenses instead of comic book stories. I really do. But nobody knew 911 is coming, and nobody's going to know when we get our next surprise. I'm sure the USS Cole would have skipped going to Aden on that fateful day when they took a little dinghy loaded with explosives. And one guy with a sniper rifle on the deck could have put an end to that. Could have blown that dinghy up before it ever even got close. But it wouldn't be politically correct. It is better that you die and that they let the politicians form committees and play it out for political gain for a year, like the 911 cover-up hearings. Boy, did you ever see anybody cover up anything? And the Republicans are to blame, too. They're no better than the Democrats. Like I said before, the only difference between a Republican and a Democrat is the Republicans wear nice dresses. It's
terrible. Here's my plan for the liberation of Iran. These guys are talking about we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. Get out your little map of the world and take a look at everything that surrounds Iran. And you will see, as you look at each country, Americans have bases in all those countries. We already surround Iran. We don't have to go in and fight a regional war inside a mountain, inside the hills and the buildings and the cities. All we have to do is take the 5 or 6 coastal cities and close a Bandar Abbas, seize all of the oil rigs that are in the Persian Gulf, hijack all the tankers and start bringing that oil to the United States on special. Give back the islands that Iran seized from Oman to Oman. Give back the islands that Iran seized from the UAE to the UAE. And then wait out Iran's next move. And that's what you do. And the 5 coastal cities is all you have to defend. Let them come to us. Try that. See what happens. Hang in there. And leave that government to deal with its people inside the perimeter. And you won't have to worry about anything else, I guarantee you. And the first guy that says we can't do it because we're spread too thin, well, if we're spread too thin now, wait until war breaks out. So let's get fat. Let's spread fat. The quickest way to do it is bring back the draft. I'm watching the Navy in World War II. You know how many military volunteers we had before World War II started? You know what the total strength of the armed forces was? If I remember the figures from watching the show, 170,000. Do you know after World War II started and everybody got their draft notice, you know how many guys were in the military? 7 million. 7 million. And that's what it took to win one war on 4 continents in 4 years with the help of Fat Man and Little Boy. And thank God we were the ones that had them, not the Russians, not the Germans, not the Japanese. And speaking of the Japanese, as the winds of war blow more briskly, you can rest assured that Japan is not going to take the nuclear strength that is growing in the region too lightly. And you may see Japan go nuclear for its own self-defense. It's going to get real interesting. And I hope that our two greatest enemies in the next war are our two greatest allies, and that's Germany and Japan. And speaking of allies, I think what is being done to Toyota is a ripoff, it's a crime, and it's a shakedown. And I think that now see Mike finding is hitting them with fines. And what, you can't find anything wrong with the General Motors car? That's not the way to treat a friend. And the government is too quick to fine big business. It's a ripoff. It's highway robbery. The mafia wouldn't do it. And that's what you got today. You got a government mafia that fills its treasury with fines and taxes. They can't produce anything, and they can't make a profit. They can't even pay their own way. They should all be fired. And the rule of thumb is, if they were here last week, they're gone next week. Fire them all. Fire the Democrats, fire the Republicans, get rid of them all, start fresh. It'll take them a year to learn which envelope goes in which pocket. Get rid of them all. Fire them all. If you don't send your message in November, your lips will be silenced forever. You will never have a chance to take your country back again. Short of revolution. We now turn to health benefits. and drug prescriptions. Somebody we know and love is on a medication that's very expensive. And they have one of the best city worker plans that you can have in this country. And the worst time to find out that they're not, that your plan is not going to cover you, is when you call upon them to do you a service after you've been paying into it for so many years. And this person that we love has been told that the medication that she needs is not in the plan, and she has to accept a medication that is in the plan that is not as good and has more side effects. Okay? You think about that. You think about that, and you think about the government that just cut a deal with the drug companies. And let me tell you, when the government's cutting a deal with the drug companies and they tell you they're saving $42 billion, just remember what Bill Clinton and Jesse Jackson used to do. Bill was short of cash. He used to send Jesse to Wall Street, and Jesse would say, not enough black guys working here. And the Wall Street execs would say, hey, Jesse, can we see you on this? Sure, no problem. Oh, go to Budweiser. Not enough blacks working here. Hey, Jesse, can we see you on this? Sure, no problem. My son needs a franchise in Chicago. No problem, Jesse, you got it. Yep. Meantime, these people that are paying all the taxes and carrying the other half of the nation that's on welfare is working 2 to 3 jobs just to keep their heads above water. And when they need the heart medication, somebody's going to tell them that they got to settle for aspirin. Yeah, this health care plan is going to be great as long as you can pay a bribe. And that's what it's going to come down to. We're going to be like the Russians. You want health care? You got to take care of somebody. You got to be connected. And the worst time to find out that your coverage stinks is when you need it the most and you're helpless. Now, there are groups, services that will tell you which car to buy. Consumers Report. How come there's no Consumers Report for insurance companies? How come there isn't a dossier on the internet and that grades insurance companies? Say, I got such and such a plan and it sucks and here's what happened to me. And somebody gives it an A, an A plus, an A minus, a Z, and expose these insurance companies rather than have people wait until the last minute to find out that they're getting the shaft. And the name of the bigger they are, sometimes does not mean that the better they are. I went to my dentist. I said, who's got the best dental plan? You know what he told me? The plumbers. He wishes he could have it for himself. So you gotta, somebody's got to rate these insurance companies, because the last thing any American hates is a surprise. You don't want to, you get an estimate for work on your house and the guy tells you $10,000 and then he made a mistake, it's going to be $15,000. You don't like those kind of surprises, neither do I. That's it, man. You hit the nail on the head the first time, and the deal is the deal. So make sure that you're making a profit, and you make sure that I'm getting the best price. And the same with insurance companies. They got to be rated. Who pays? Who doesn't? Who's got the best coverage? Who doesn't? Who wiggles their way out? Who has a worm clause? And this is the one that kills me. Tell me how a bank who is borrowing money from the Fed at no percent interest can charge a guy whose back is against the wall and has trouble paying his bills 29.95% on his credit card. Who can do that to a human being? Plus late fees. I'm also tired of hearing banks and investment companies making all their money overseas. Is that what we've come to? Oh, yes, I'm investing in China. I'm getting a great return on my investment. Yeah. What are you doing? You're investing in a foundry that was exported by the U.S. government, and it's time to close OSHA and the EPA and get rid of those two government agencies and save the taxpayers some money. They're the ones that took down American industry. You can't get more communist than OSHA and the EPA. And if they aren't communists, they don't know it, but they're doing the work of the Communist Party. When you got to harass a guy out of this country from doing business, and you're forcing him to send his plant to China, you're part of the takedown of America. You might as well be KGB. Mike Savage tonight is going after Cardinal Mahoney of Los Angeles. And I agree with Mike Savage that the Cardinals should not be promoting illegal immigration. But I get a little worried when he starts talking about this Cardinal is speaking politically, and therefore he's not entitled to his tax exempt status. His church is not entitled to his tax-exempt status, because what Mike is really doing is opening the door for the communists to do the same thing. It would be better to take the Cardinal on directly and don't give ideas to the ACLU. And do not try and silence the Cardinal's free speech. He may be speaking as a church official, but he's also an American. I don't agree with what he says. And I think he's wrong in telling his parishioners to break the law. But they are his flock. And he's only doing what Jesus would do. But he's wrong. Because Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. He should help his flock spiritually, and he should not play politics. And if his motive is politics, then he's wrong totally. If his motive is true and it's in the spirit of Christianity, well, he's wrong, but he has the right to be wrong. So I just wanted to mention that Mike may be opening a Pandora's box. And he may be giving aid and comfort to the communists unknowingly. And no man should be silenced unless it's Bill Maher, John DeMonkey, Sean Phnom Penh. These people should all have iron masks and be on Devil's Island. But of course I can't do that because I don't have the power. So it's just a hearsay. A bartender, a champagne.
Travels now like
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. I turned on my TV this morning before going to work, and I caught a congressional hearings. And all of a sudden, I see that the chairman of the congressional hearings is closing an opening statement, and he's apologizing for something he said. And I noticed that the chairman is Al Franken. And so it piqued my interest, and I hung in there to see what was going on. And it was a committee to investigate hate crimes. And then they had this little pimp testifying for the Attorney General's office. And he was saying, yes, we're going after the hate crime people. We've made an arrest in Indiana. We've made an arrest in Arkansas. I said, what, no arrests in New York? Huh? What is this, one-sided hate crime? And this guy says, and not only that, but we're going one step further. We're going to investigate father-son hate crimes where the father teaches the son to hate. And you know what I said? You know what's coming next? The knock on the door with a list of how many guns you own. They're setting the stage. Communism is almost entirely in place to take over this country, and you better pray that not one of those Supreme Court judges like Alito meets with a Soviet-style accident, because you will have no control, you will have no more freedom. Freedom will be gone forever in this country. You will be a communist stooge. And you'll be taking orders from Chuck Schumer, Barbara Boxhead, what's her name, Shirley Lee Jackson. We're in trouble, folks. We're in big trouble. You don't know it, but your kids have no legacy. Your kids, they're going to be living in Cairo.
That was Jimmy from Brooklyn on the phone, and he just reminded me that Obama is coming to New York on Lenin's birthday. Tomorrow's the 22nd, and it's the birthday of Lenin. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe he's in competition with Lenin, having seized more private industry than Joe Stalin did in his first year of lifetime office. Comrade Obama is due in New York on April the 22nd to attack Wall Street and gain control of the working capital of Americans. And you want to know something? Don't think that they don't have, they can spot your wallet from satellite. Yeah, they have a range finder on your bank account. Don't think they're not coveting thy neighbor's goods and his 401k. You better stop these people, or you're not gonna have a pension. You're not gonna have a country. You're gonna get a chit. So where was I? So Obama is doing New York tomorrow to gain control of Wall Street. Plans are already underway to seize your guns. All you have to do is turn on C-SPAN and watch Al Franken, the hate crime purge committee head on C-SPAN. The communists are setting the stage for sons to turn their fathers in for hate speech. I flash back to the World War II movies where loyal Hitler youth pointed out their mothers and fathers for having a shortwave radio. Already children are being taught in communist indoctrination schools to supply a bully list to the commissar principal. Next comes the neighborhood watch groups, Castro style, and then a private, a communist, atheist president decides to skew a Wall Street. On Lenin's birthday. Father, forgive him. He knows what he is doing. Do not forgive him. He knows what he's doing. Got to go now and read my 50s a duck and cover nuke book. We're in trouble, folks. We're in more trouble than you realize. We were sedated a long time ago. We were sedated to the point that Bill Clinton allowed Al-Qaeda to come kill us in New York. And 9 years later, we got a hole in the ground. And Savage tonight attacked the American people, calling them wusses and less than men. And I got to tell you, he's right. We have become a divided nation, carefully orchestrated by the communists. We are, the DNC stands for Divide and Conquer, and they will, I told you again and again, they will pit white against black, black against white, black against Chinese and Korean. They'll pit Haitians against blacks. They'll pit Puerto Ricans against Cubans. Anything to keep the masses moving in the wrong direction. And we're all going to pay a terrible price. You lost your country. I don't know if you can get it back. Your last chance is in November. And you want to know something? I don't think you've got the guts to get it back. And the only people that are standing up are the old people, because they know what yesterday was like, and they don't like what they see tomorrow. And the same people that are calling for death to little children will call for death to the elderly. When things get tough, there's going to be abortions mini-size, and then there's going to be abortions full-size. So you think about that. And I do want to say a word of thanks to the people in Nebraska. So hang in a second. Thank you, Nebraska, for giving kids 2 more weeks to live. You drove back the Death to Little Children Act from 22 weeks to 20 weeks. That's a 10% reduction in child murder. Lead the way, Nebraska. You just became God's favorite state. I can't wait till a miracle happens. Who knows, maybe Notre Dame will come back to Christ. Or Fordham University. And child murder is outlawed. That's the miracle we need. And then we can open a pro-life grotto and call it Our Lady of Nebraska. A flyover state no more. Angels rest here. God bless you, Nebraska. You're heading in the right direction, and we're going to follow you. And if you want to see a pro-life a baby picture, I have one on my website, and it's in my book. I think it's chapter 3, It's right on the front page of the chapter. It's called Save the Kids. And there's a baby in the womb getting a spina bifida operation in the womb. And the baby is shaking the doctor's hand. You think about that. And I think the baby's 16 weeks. You got to get a look at that picture if you've never seen it. The picture was snapped by a photographer, and they didn't know that the baby's hand was going to come out of the incision where the doctor was operating on a fetus. And the baby grabbed the doctor's finger. And I think I entitled it, God Says Thank You. Gripping, huh? That's what I put. Gripping, huh? You got to see that picture. If you ever had any doubts when the communists called a child little tissue, you got to see this picture. I don't know if we're going to have that kind of medical care ever again. Not in the new Soviet Union. You may have to go to the post office to have an operation. The People's Post Office. And I seen something last night. It was totally disgusting. And I'm surprised. My wife was more disgusted than I was. And she's very compassionate. It was garbage removal in the city of Cairo. Did you see this documentary? There's 20 million inhabitants in Cairo. And I think, don't hold me to the figure, but I think they have 800,000 pounds of garbage a day. And the people were used to having the garbage man walk up five flights of stairs and pick up their garbage or wherever they lived. And the government cut it out. So now they just throw the garbage out the window. They throw the garbage. They go by the dumpster in a passing car and they miss the dumpster throwing the garbage. And they show you the stench, and they show you the worms, you know, the maggots coming out. You know how hot it is in Cairo? I think they said it takes like 20 minutes or 40 minutes for garbage to really stink and start to compose or decompose. And you had to see the garbage. And the smell is horrendous. It's really sad. It's really sad to see how people can live in such unsanitary conditions. And man, I hope that doesn't become our country next. I'm dedicating this next tune to all the Viet Congress mice and all of the senators who are getting thrown out in November. And no matter what happens, whatever kind of crisis we're having in November, do not let the communists tell you that the people that are in office have to stay because of this crisis situation. No matter what it is, if it's war, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Never forget, there's 125 flag burners in Congress, or 135 flag burners in Congress, and there's 48 flag burners in the Senate. And 80% of them are baby killers. You've got to get rid of those guys. They're going to hurt you. They're going to cripple you. Get rid of them. If you're in doubt about should the guy stay or go, get rid of them. Democrat or Republican, get rid of them all. You've got one last chance to send a message. The message is get your crap and get out. So I'm going to play this tune to remind you that we got to get rid of them all. And that Committee on Hate Crimes is a stacked deck. It's all communists, including Al Franken.
I know that someday you'll want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody new, until someday you'll want me, want me. When I'm in love with somebody new, although you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow, and then I won't want you.
That's our show tonight. I hope you got a little bit of enjoyment out of it. Until we meet again, when the stick in the sand is equal to its shadow, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Talk to you. Take care.